Your job as a coach and my job as a coach is to develop good men. Okay, the game of baseball is going to go for everybody. But, you know, the things we teach them through the course of the game, our practices, and the time we spend with them, we want to make that guy a better man. You know, they're going to have a life ahead of them, and if they can learn the lessons that we provide them, then ultimately, you know, we've done our job. You know, learning what makes these guys tick will make you a better coach. That's the challenge to me. I like every year it's a new group of guys, and you're trying to develop this one guy, and you want to be able to turn that person's light switch on. Well, like, we got 35 guys on the roster, there's 35 different light switches.
That's right.
And maybe 3 years down the road, that light switch will turn on for that guy.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
We are broadcasting live from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and we have answered your call. You are dialed back in to our podcast and another edition of our Dugout Chatter episodes. Thanks again for joining our conversation today as we connect with yet another loyal and proud ABCA member coach, talk through his reflections on an ultra-successful career in this game, and we're going to get to that audio goal in just a minute. But first and foremost, remember, this is the podcast for the American Baseball Coaches Association. We are the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity with over 8,000 coaches worldwide inside of it. Now, we're almost a month away, September 1st. I want to put that date in your mind, maybe put it on your calendar. September 1st opens up our registration for the 2017-18 membership year. It also cracks open registration for our upcoming ABCA convention in Indianapolis. And you're going to want to jump on board with us pretty soon. Planning on over 6,000 coaches to join us there in Indianapolis, and we hope to see you there with us. Just remember, coaches, September 1st starts that whole process. Now back to today's show and our guest, who is no stranger to the ABCA. It's the head coach at St. John's University, Ed Blankmeyer. Now, Eddie has served our association proudly. He's worked his way up through various committees. He's served as president. He also now sits on our board of directors, but it's truly who Coach Blankmeyer is as a person and how he approaches coaching his players. It's made him an obvious choice for the show. 38 years in the game, spent the last 22 as a skipper there at St. John's. Ed currently sits as the winningest coach in Big East Conference history, groomed countless players for professional baseball, and fittingly, was recently chosen to be inducted into the 2018 ABCA Hall of Fame class, a well-deserved honor for Coach Blankmeyer. So we wanted to get him on the show and really press into his coaching approach that's made Eddie so beloved inside coaching circles, but especially folks around his program. And you can hear his pursuit for knowledge and learning, it's apparent. Plus, Coach Blankmeyer reflects on his career and his work to teach the game properly, grow up players under his watch, and prepare them for something much bigger than just the game. Prepare them for life. This is packed with some awesome stories from an exemplary baseball man on this show. So coaches, I want you to buckle in. You're going to enjoy this ride with Coach Blankmeyer. We're sitting down and talking with a coach that's a legendary inside the Big East Conference and coaching circles around the country. The head coach at St. John's University, Ed Blankmeyer, is our guest on today's Dugout Chatter episode. And get ready, because this great show is coming at you right now. So coaches, if you dialed into a podcast today and you were really looking for one that had competing, polarizing accents, you've got a thick Kentucky accent and you've got a thick New York accent on the call today, but it's going to be an awesome show. We're going to make certified audio gold. We're talking with the head coach at St. John's University, Ed Blankmeyer. Eddie, thanks for being on the call with us today.
Sheets, it's an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to this. Been looking forward to it a long time, and it just so happened we had a break in the schedule, and it had an opening to get a guy like you in, and it could not have come at a better time when this past week we just announced and officially on air, congratulations, your induction into the ABCA Hall of Fame. And I think it's a great opportunity. Let's kick this show off, Eddie, with talk about what the ABCA has meant to you over the course of your career, your development, becoming a board member, serving as president, and now entering the Hall of Fame.
Wow, I tell you what, for anyone listening out there, believe me, if you're interested in pursuing a career in baseball, the first stop must be enrollment to the ABCA. It's an outstanding organization, great coaches, great people. The networking opportunities, the information that's provided to you. If you want to be a better baseball coach, okay, this is the place to be. I've been blessed and honored to be a part of this organization for quite some time. I really thank two people in particular, really, really kind of launched my career into the ABCA. ABCA, and that's number one, Jack Kaiser.
Right.
He's a former past president, chairman of the board, mm-hmm. A well-respected person. He's one of the founding fathers of the Big East. And then the other gentleman that needs no introduction is Dave Kylitz. And mm-hmm. to me, when I was a young coach coming in, Dave kind of extended his arm, and it has been very gracious to every coach that reached out for help. And to me, the organization, he's made this organization a great organization. And I know right. I know his son Craig has taken a ball, and he's running with it. And this organization is just special, and special to me, special to the board members, and just getting around to convention and talking to people. I mean, every convention, it just gets better and better. So
that's right.
My message to any young coach out there: you want to be a baseball person or a baseball coach or something in the world of baseball, get involved in the ABCA.
That's right. Well, we echo those sentiments, obviously. You know, I think it's an interesting thing, doing a little research for the show. It's really cool to find out, obviously knowing Coach Kaiser. So you're only the third head coach to take over at St. John's big chair there in the baseball program, but all three of you guys, Jack Kaiser, Joe Russo, and yourself, are now all ABCA Hall of Famers. Is there something in the water there at St. John's?
I don't know. St. John's, if you look at the history of collegiate baseball, St. John's is still the ninth all-time winningest program in NCAA history, and that's wow. based on NCAA appearances. I think that's the measure of a solid program, is that how many times do you compete nationally in postseason play? So, you know, when Coach Kaiser was here, he did a wonderful job, and then obviously transitioning to Joe Russo, who played for Coach Kaiser, mm-hmm. he did a great job, and they kind of, you know, they just, you know, passed the ball to me, and I'm just trying to do my part. And the university supports the program. Our baseball and basketball program have an extremely storied history. So,
sure.
I just hope I can continue that path.
Well, there's something good going there. When you look at 22 years there, you've been at St. John's and winningest coach in Big East history. Obviously, more currently, you guys had such a fantastic season last year, talking 42-13 and a regional appearance. Obviously, you've made 10 of those through the course of your career. Talk about last season, what that team was like being around, and obviously your run into the regionals.
You know, it was a special team. I think it started, and like anything, any coach will tell you, senior leadership, and we were blessed to two seniors return that we thought were going to be selected by the professional draft, and they didn't sign. So when you hold those two, when we had a nice young incoming freshman class of pitching, mm-hmm. and we thought we may lose those two guys, a few guys from that group, we were able to hold them. And I think when you good talent makes good coaches. That's
right.
Very simple. So when you hold a four or five guys, which you may have, you know, in the past have lost, and we you know, not only us, but other programs fall into the same category. They can lose players coming in the door, you know, or leaving. When you hold those guys, it allowed us to, you know, to be a pretty good club. And, you know, it was basically looking at that ball club. We had an older lineup with a younger pitching staff, and the pitching staff came fast, and the lineup took off quickly. So
yeah.
We kind of rode the crest of the wave, and we've pretty darn consistent the entire year. So it was a special season. I wish we finished a little bit better, but you know, I'm proud of what they did.
I think it's always great, Eddie, when we start these shows, we love to kind of start from the beginning. So if you could, walk us back from your beginnings in baseball, maybe the moment you decided you wanted to coach, and what it was like for those early years, and obviously run us through 22 years there at St. John's.
I guess it really started for me, you know, I guess the old adage is, if you can't play, well, maybe you should coach.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, once they took the uniform off me, I had an opportunity to go back and sign professionally. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there and, you know, playing sparingly in professional baseball. And, you know, I just started throwing flips to a guy, we're talking hitting. And I said, man, maybe I should do something like this. Maybe I should coach. Okay. So, I mean, that kind of got my itch. Went away for a while. And taught, and that was my background was in education.
Okay.
So I was a teacher coach out in California. Then, ironically, my alma mater, Seton Hall, played in the old Riverside tournament with Jack Smitherin. And I met my college coach, and he said, would you like to come back and, you know, get involved in college coaching? And I said, gee, I'd certainly be interested. So in 1979, five decades ago, I began my college coaching career at Seton Hall, and Mike Sheppard allowed me to, you know, to learn how to coach. Gave me a lot of opportunities to recruit and, you know, coach and kind of grow on my own. So it started, I guess, as an assistant coach, you know, grinding it out. And 16 years later, the opportunity arose at St. John's, and I was selected as their new head coach. And, you know, I guess, what, 38 years of college coaching. It's been great. It's been absolutely great. And I learned a lot along the way, and more importantly, you know, develop some great relationships and friends.
That's right. Well, you've got the sickness. You can't get rid of it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's addicting.
It is. 100%. Well, baseball people are as good as any people out there. And so it's obviously the building the relationships and the camaraderie and the fraternity that is our baseball community. Man, it's hard to break out of it. Now, this is always a fun question because I can hear you really thinking back and getting back into those years of where it all started. But take us through and talk about the lessons you've learned along the way, Eddie, that I think are so great for our listeners to take in and realize that, man, all the coaches, all the great ones, when we look to guys like yourself, you've all been in exactly the same points in your career, but also walked in those same footprints. Talk about the lessons you've learned along the way throughout your career.
I think life is an experience, and the lessons you learn along the way are, you know, I think you become a better coach as you get older.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first thing, it's very simple. You know, if you want to be a good coach, okay, we have the opportunity to get good players. And I'm not saying good players from the standpoint of talented players, but there are other elements. You know, you got to find a player that's best for your program.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind that if you don't have good players, you know, I don't care how good a coach you are. You're not, you know, you're just not going to achieve the success as we measure it.
Sure.
So, develop good players. But I think there's also along the way, when you're developing good players, okay, it's your job as a coach is to get the most out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this new age of speed dial recruiting, we have a tendency of over-recruiting or recruiting over the top, whereas not giving that player an opportunity to develop. Okay, it's our job as a coach when we select a person is to develop that person to the best of that person's ability.
Yeah.
Okay, that is our job. And whatever that ability level may be, if we can get this young man to overachieve, I think that's important.
Hmm.
The other thing, and it's tough, and I'm still learning this, Sheets, is patience.
There it is.
Patience.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this game is a very difficult game. Mm-hmm. You know, you go 3-for-10 and you're a superstar.
Yeah.
But patience for development and developing a program, you know, we're this age of social media, our society, instant gratification. They want instant success.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it takes a player to develop a little longer than what you like them to be. You want them on the field as a freshman. You may not be ready. So from standpoint of learning and growing as a coach, you got to be patient and let things occur. Okay, and let things develop along the way. So those are some of the things. I think ultimately, you know, you got to teach these kids the right lessons. You know, your job as a coach and my job as a coach is to develop good men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The game of baseball is going to go for everybody. But, you know, the things we teach them through the course of the game, our practices, and the time we spend with them, we want to make that guy a better man. And, you know, they're going to have a life ahead of them. And if they can learn the lessons that we provide them that will propel them to become a good person in society, you know, develop, you know, a good foundation, become a good family man, then ultimately, you know, we've done our job.
That's right.
And I think we lose sight of that fact because we want to be so successful on that ball field. But yet, you know, what are we doing to develop that young man down the road? And, you know, it's always nice when a guy comes back and they thank you,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10, 15 years down the road for what they did for you. And what you're doing just what you're doing. You're going about your business, and you're not even thinking about it. But if you do the right things, you teach them to play the game the right way,
mm-hmm.
okay, you teach integrity, okay, you teach about family, loyalty, all these great ethical qualities,
yeah.
then you develop a good person, and a good person that's going to go on and be successful. So that's ultimately my job, and that's what I'm most – you know, proud of. I'm, you know, develop the player and develop the players' life skills and help them get on with their lives.
That's it. Well, as you're talking through that, I literally had that conversation last night, Eddie, with a college teammate of mine who's a high school head coach, and asking me, how, you know, being out of the game, what are some of the things you think about? Well, I think about my approach to coaching was very transactional. It was about wins. It was like, to your point, it was about what's next, the win, the conference championship, move forward, as opposed to really transforming. Coach Deggs from Sam Houston State had a great viral video that came from his super regional run of, you know, I'm in this to grow up young men. I'm in this to take men from 18 to 22 and have them prepared to go crush life, not just for the win or the regional or super regional appearance. And so I love hearing that point. I think it's always great for the coaches that dial into this to really hear that message over and over and over again, to when it starts to really run the way that they coach, right?
Yeah, we get caught up in a vacuum. We really
That's right.
do. We're wired. We're constantly going. We're constantly recruiting. You know, we're not smelling the roses, as my wife tells me. So you step back and smell the roses and enjoy
right.
what you've done.
Sure.
No, we're on to the next game. We're on to the next recruit. We're really moving. I guess that's the way we're wired at it. But the other thing you have to also is we've got to be able to adapt to change, how the game has changed,
yep.
how recruiting has changed, how the players change, how the new model of recruiting has developed. Mm-hmm. The game itself is changing. Technology it has advanced the game. So you know, if you really want to be a good coach, you know, you got to be able to adapt to change.
That's right.
And the good ones do. The good ones too. There's no one way now. There's a lot of different ways. You know, you got to feel comfortable in your skin and how you do things. But yet, you better be able to change with the times. Okay. Otherwise, the times are going to pass you by.
That's it.
So that's the only other thing that I kind of recommend, mm-hmm. You know, lessons that I've learned along the way. You know, you got to be able to adapt.
That's right. Again, you hear that response, and it's so clear, Coach. That's your why. That's why you get up every morning and lead the Red Storm. I'm interested in how you continue to challenge that every single day. How are you continue to challenge your current base of baseball knowledge? How are you learning and growing yourself, especially at a time when you're away from your kids and you're preparing for this fall with a brand new group?
Again, it's part of our DNA. I'm wired that way. I got to be doing something involved with baseball, whether it's watching a game, whether it's recruiting, whether it's preparing for next year, whether it's being at my camp, working at my camp. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is learn from other programs. You know, what keeps me going is, you know, I enjoy playing against different parts of the country, different coaches, getting to know them, and also learning from them. You know, by watching a team play that you ordinarily wouldn't have played, 2019, for example, we're going to go out and play John Savage at UCLA. You know,
yeah.
You can learn from that.
Sure.
You can learn from that experience. Okay, so I constantly like to play in my scheduling, you know, different teams in different parts of the country, mm-hmm. so that I can get out there and become a better coach, because, hey, they may be doing a little bit better than us, and why are they doing it that way? And, you know, maybe you can, you know, transition some of that stuff into your program.
Sure.
That gets me excited. The other thing really gets me excited is the kids nowadays. They're challenging.
That's right.
And why can't we learn from them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're teaching them. You know, it's like anything else. This whole science of baseball is more of an art of coaching. You know, how much you're going to give them. Okay, what do they need? Okay, the great coach knows what to give them and how much to give them. Okay, otherwise you can, you know, you can just wear these guys out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, analysis breeds paralysis. Too much of the science is
That's
not
right.
good.
That's right.
The balance, what is the balance? What is the balance for that particular individual? So, you know, learning, okay, what makes these guys tick will make you a better coach. That's the challenge to me. I like to, every year it's a new group of guys,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you're trying to develop this one guy, and you want to be able to turn that person's light switch on. Well, like, we got 35 guys on the roster. There's 35 different light switches.
That's right.
And maybe three years down the road, that light switch will turn on for that guy.
That's right.
Okay, but you got to constantly learn from them. So I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thirst for knowledge. You know, we mentioned the start of the show, the ABCA.
Mm-hmm.
The ABCA, what on the website, what they provide these guys. Gosh, there's a lot of people out there that do things very, very well. And, you know, like anything else, if you have a thirst for knowledge and you want to be a great coach, well, learn. Be an avid learner,
mm-hmm.
okay? And understand, once you stop learning in this game, okay, that's when you're going to fall by the wayside. You got to continue to learn. You got to continue to grow as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I can learn, and the resource that the ABCA provides. Hey, just standing out in the hallway during a convention, boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of things that I learned there.
That's a fact. Okay?
And to me, that excites me.
That's right.
That excites me. So,
well, do this for us. Take us back through your career and unpack the highs and the lows, all those moments that you still reflect on that just seem to always bring a smile to your face, but some of those moments that still have that thorn in your side that you still think about and probably have helped you grow as a coach.
I think the first impact that I've had is when I was hired as a collegiate coach on my father-in-law, Mike Shepard. I mean, that to me was very impactful because it set my sight on my career. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is just some of the relationships and some of the people that I had the pleasure of coaching, guys like, you know, Craig Biggio, Mo Vaughn, Matt Morris, even with the USA program under the direction of Paul Seiler and Eric Campbell, giving me three opportunities to coach in that organization with some great, great players. I mean, that was exciting, as well as, you know, representing Team USA. I mean, USA baseball. I think those were highlight moments. But every day you get a chance to put the uniform on, okay, and coach baseball, to me, is very exciting.
Sure.
Because in this game, you know as well as I do, mm-hmm. there's something you're going to see. You're going to say, "Well, I never seen that before."
That's right.
Yeah, and it's a unique game, a game of failure, and you're always learning from it. So it's like, you know, 36, 38 years of coaching, whatever I've been doing, it's just been a joy to be in that ball field with 17 to 22, 23-year-old kids.
That's right.
That just kind of turns me on.
What about those lows? What about those moments that stick in you that were kind of the lowest points in your career? And I'm more interested in this, and I think it'd be great for our listeners, Eddie. How'd you get through them?
I tell you what, it's tough. Mm-hmm. You know, being competitive and failing, or you're failing from a standpoint of losing a championship or having a bad season and based on your expectation. You know, we've been blessed, I think in my 38 years, I've had one losing season. But yet, you know, there are periods of time where you have some bad runs and bad times. You know, and they're tough. They're tough on the kids. And you just got to stay positive, you know, because you got to be, I always tell the guys, you know, excuse the expression, but nobody's going to die today. Okay, it's a game. Mm-hmm. We play the game to our best of our ability, and I'm not marking success based on wins and losses. I'm marking success based on how we perform. If we perform well and lose, so be it. Okay, but eventually, we keep playing well enough, we're going to win, mm-hmm. and that's always my focus: is perform to the best of your ability. Good things will come, and then you got to be able to ride the wave. You got to ride the wave a little bit. This is a game of failure. Kids are, you know, these are young kids that are trying real hard. There's a lot of pressure on them, especially the ones that have the ability to play professionally. Mm-hmm. All these things come into play. So it's like riding a wave. You got to be able to ride the wave, ride the good of it, ride the bad of it, mm-hmm. and stay positive. That's sure. That's the only way I can handle it.
That's it.
But kids, you know, the funny thing, Sheets, the kids nowadays, you know, it's the good ones see the whole picture. The other ones kind of see themselves and they get caught in their world. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we as coaches, you know, it's 30, we're concerned about the 35 and the result.
Yeah.
There, many of them are concerned about how they perform that particular day. So, what drives me is to try to get everybody on that same page, understands that they're selfless, they're a better teammate, and they care more about the team than about themselves. And typically when you get a good core group that thinks along those lines, you know, you can ride that wave and you'll come out fine. So
sure.
That's the million-dollar question. How do you deal with adversity during the course of a season? And boy, you got to stay tough.
That's right.
Okay, you got to stay positive, and you got to stick to the process of playing good baseball.
Help them get out of their own way.
You hope they will.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just continue to play. Make it simple. Stay positive. You know they're trying, and it's like anything else. It's like quicksand. The harder you try, okay, the tougher it gets.
That's right.
Okay, and this game will set you back some if you can't handle it.
Sure. this is always a fun question to ask because your baseball lifer, like you said, well over 30 years in the game. But if you weren't in coaching, if you weren't involved in baseball, what would you be doing? But more, what was the dream coming up before you decided to coach? What did Eddie Blankmeyer want to be?
You know, every kid puts on his spikes. I wanted to play in the big leagues.
Sure.
I could play in the big leagues. You know, I love sports.
Yeah,
I love sports. My dad was very instrumental. Grew up in Granville Baker's Boys Club in Long Island. Always involved in sports. My parents emphasized, you know, work hard in the school, work hard in the sports. But, you know, I just like to play games. I was a competitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be around sports, whatever that may be. So
okay,
it took me to Seton Hall, and I became a teacher. And because obviously I wanted to coach, but, you know, I'm living a lifelong dream. I'm coaching baseball.
That's right. That's right.
I haven't worked a day in my life.
That's it.
I'm coaching a game I love.
That's right.
You know, I'm not going to work. The funny thing, my wife says, "Hey, you know, what are you doing today?" I'm going to work. So what do you mean? You're watching a baseball game?
That's right.
You know, and, of course she's a nurse, and you know she sees it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and said, "You know, you're right. You're right." So I haven't worked a day in my life. So
that's awesome.
To go and be involved in something that you love to do. It's not a job.
That's right.
And that guy, that just keeps you going.
Now, unpack this one as well, because I think this is always a fun one. Pull back the curtain on Eddie Blankmeyer outside the baseball field. What hobbies or maybe a hidden talent that you have that you're willing to release here on the audio airwaves?
Wow. Mm-hmm. I wish I could sing. I wish I could dance. I think I can sing, but I can't.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I just love spending time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I love going out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, when I have time and I can unwind, you know, I like to travel with my wife.
There you go.
So, you know, and believe me, she keeps tabs on me and she makes me accountable to travel because she likes to travel. And, you know, we as coaches in the college profession that, you know, do this, you know, full time and we get after it pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we lose sight of what the family needs and.
That's right.
You know, and sometimes it's good to step away to recharge your battery, to refresh yourself a little bit. So, you know, she keeps me balanced because I'm out of balance at times. You know, it's just fun to travel and to see the world because there's a lot of great stuff out there. So I enjoy doing that, and I allow her to kind of pick and choose.
Absolutely. What are some of those fun trips you've been on?
Done Italy. We've done Europe. Okay. I think we're going to go to Iceland soon. Obviously, we hit all the different islands. So, I don't know where she has me going. I'm going to go watch my son in Arizona. So, you know, I like going to the national parks, banging around the national parks and seeing some of those sites. Did that last summer. So I there's a lot I want to see in the country. I want to take an RV and do that when my time is up just to drive around. And because this country is a beautiful country. And
believe
me, if you ask a lot of people, they haven't seen an ounce of it. I want to see that. And obviously I like to travel overseas. So
awesome.
I've been blessed with USA Baseball to have some of those opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm.
Although playing, we got a chance to see some stuff.
You didn't realize it, but you know, you were training to go to Iceland this whole time. You've braved so many New York winters. You're going to be ready for Iceland. You're ready for it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I sit in those nice hot pools and relax a little bit, but
in
the northern lights. But I just like to see different things.
Mm-hmm.
You can always learn.
So get into what's going on there in the locker room, especially there at St. John's. They're a little more relevant. Maybe some stories that come from before that. But take us through some of the funniest stories that have happened to you in the locker room, the dugout, the field, on the bus, away games, any of those funny stories that really jump off that every coach listening is going to go, yeah, we had something just like that, and it's something that still makes you laugh today.
You know, I'll tell you one off the top of my head, which is a recruiting story.
Okay.
I was out recruiting a young man from Kings Park, Long Island, who was a great football player, and I went to watch him play, and he's a catcher, and he was catching there, and all of a sudden he gets a base hit. He steals first, he steals second. Oh, I said, this kid's pretty good. Gets up again, gets another base hit, steals first, steals second. Gets up the third time, okay, walks. I can't remember, walks or gets a base hit. He's on first base.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he goes to steal second base. The coach from the opposing team hits the side of the stands with his bat, making a ping sound, of course. The catcher throws the ball up in the air like a pop fly to second base. Okay, the runner sees that the ball's up in the air, not realizing it was just a decoy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back and he runs back to first base. He slides and safe. That person was Craig Biggio.
Oh my gosh!
So that was my claim to fame recruiting story, and I never let him live that one down.
Sure.
He goes on to be a Hall of Famer, and we recruited him as a catcher. Obviously moves to second base, quite a young man, and quite a competitor. We would have never had him if he wanted any football school let him run the football, because he was an outstanding football player. Everybody, all the big time schools wanted him as a defensive back.
Huh? How about that?
So that's one. Mm-hmm. And just, I guess the other thing is, I can't remember vividly, but some of the pranks that you go on the bus rides. We typically we'll bus from, New Year's into the Carolinas and back, and there's always some, some setups where guys are hiding and they set you up and they jump out at you. But these kids, they do some crazy things.
Sure.
They just do some crazy things. But that's the one story I thought was pretty unique.
That is. That's definitely unique. Now, this is an awesome moment in the show, and I love asking this question every single chance we can, especially to guys like you that have been around so many great baseball coaches, especially with your time serving on the board at ABCA, but just more importantly, being out in the baseball community. But, Eddie, if you could outline the three or four guys that have just impacted you the most, that when it's all said and done, they would be on your personal Mount Rushmore.
Well, I think it starts first and foremost with my father. My dad was, he's very special to me. He brought me up the right way, brought me up to love and respect the game of baseball. He had a chance to play, professionally before he got hurt. And, he was there every step of the way, for me. So I'm sure there's a lot of, when you ask this question, that talent comes up.
Absolutely.
I guess the next person has to be the person that gave me my start, and it's Mike Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Shepard, I was Seton Hall's first recruit. He's my father-in-law now.
Yeah.
But he was the guy that hired me and gave me the opportunity to be a Division I collegiate baseball coach. And then probably I got my job security because I married his daughter.
That's right.
So, so I did all right there.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Growing as an assistant coach for 15 years and given the responsibility to do all the recruiting and, player development and dealing with a lot of the major leaguers that we produced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he gave me a forum to really develop as a coach. And then, to me, there are guys in the ABCA that certainly really elevated my career. And,
mm-hmm.
People like Jack Kaiser, who we mentioned, Dave Kylitz.
Sure.
And a lot of the executive board members really have influenced me and have encouraged me. And certainly it's just an honor to be around those guys. And lastly, with my Mount Rushmore, I want to put all the coaches on there.
There you go.
Because the fraternity that we have and the relationships you develop and all the years that I've coached, man, there's a lot of good people out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good people out there that really helped your career. You developed a friendship with, you competed against. I just think, there's too many to name.
Mm-hmm.
Including a lot of the assistant coaches, Scott Brown, Kevin McMullen, Chris Dodolo, Corey Mascara, Mike Ham. I've had several great coaches that have coached with me that have really been a part of my life and helped me develop this program. So there are a lot of thank yous out there, Sheets.
That's
but,
it. Absolutely.
Gosh, it's our profession allows us to, I think our profession is a little unique because baseball coaches are a special breed.
That's right.
And there's a lot of people that certainly have influenced me.
That's one of our better answers. I love the fact you give a call to every coach. That's outstanding. Now, we always wrap up our show, Eddie. I think one of the most hard-hitting answers that we get on every single podcast we do is for a guy like yourself, again, so many years in the dugout, what advice do you have for young coaches? And maybe the message is what you wish you could go back and tell yourself when you were younger.
For the young coaches out there,
mm-hmm.
the first thing I tell them is pay your dues.
There it is.
Pay your dues. I mean, again, speed dial recruiting, speed dial. You know, they want one job into the next job into the next job. I'm just saying, go out about your business. Okay, work hard. Okay, do the best you can in that situation. Don't be always looking for that next step. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I coached at Seton Hall for 16 years, and I became an assistant. That's the way I feel, and I know there's other coaches that have coached a long time as an assistant. You know, don't be in such a hurry. Okay, learn your profession, work hard, and develop your coaching skills. Then the next thing is be yourself. Don't be somebody you think you should be or want to be. Be yourself, okay? And because I think when a person works, you got to be comfortable in your own skin. The other things I think is respect the game. Respect the game, okay, and teach the game the right way. Teach your players the right things, okay? And I don't think you have to be, you know, over-coaching, okay? But, you know, the game of baseball to me is a relatively simple game. Sometimes you make it too complicated. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, okay, respect the game, respect your players, and teach the game the right way. And finally, I think we are responsible for developing the student-athlete, not just as a ball player. We're there to teach the student-athlete life skills to make them a better person. I think these young coaches have to understand that, and it's my responsibility, okay? What gets me motivated is I want to see young guys like myself. I know what I've been through. Mm-hmm. I want to pass the torch to another guy. If I can help another young man achieve his goal or dream to become a better coach or get into a better coaching situation or learn how to become a better coach, okay, that's my job now. I'm one of the older guys. I've been through the grind. I've seen it. So if I can mentor a young man along so that he can better prepare himself to work in this profession, then I've done something positive for our profession.
Simply put, that's called being a great steward of the game and helping grow the game of baseball. Eddie, we cannot be more thankful for your time dedicating, jumping out of camp and spend some time with us on the airwaves, but we're very thankful of your place in the ABCA, what you're doing out there in the baseball community, what you're doing for coaches across the country. This content, man, thank you for what you're doing. We look forward to catching up with you soon, Eddie. Thanks so much.
Keith, it's a pleasure, and thank you for what you do for the ABCA.
It's plain to see why so many folks in our game respect Coach Blankmeyer and his approach to leading men, coaching the game properly, and being a great steward for baseball. Great stuff, Eddie. Truly appreciate you joining our show, sharing your reflections on your career in the dugout. It's an easy conversation with Ed, man. He's such a terrific person. We're thankful for his time, his energy for the show. Eddie, best of luck to you guys and the Johnnies. Thanks again for joining our Dugout Chatter show today. Now, if you're a first-time listener of our show or even a veteran on the ABCA podcast trails, here's how you stay up to speed in our future shows and also share them with others around you. Number one, head over to iTunes or Google Play. If you hit subscribe, that show is going to show up on your phone every single time we put a new one out. You can also click on feed, scroll through all the great coaches that we've had on up to this point. Number two, our website, abca.org. The education tab at the top, click on that. Call Some of the Clubhouse podcast links going to be right there. You can scroll through and listen to on our website. But also number three, just give us a follow on Twitter at ABCA1945. We'll always announce the release of the show. We're going to put out quote images through the week that guide you back to this great content and our great guests. So that's how you stay up to speed on what we got going on. Now, you can find me on there as well, at CoachSheets3. You can also reach me directly by email. Love hearing from you guys. Sheets@abca.org. Sheets @abca.org. There's nothing better than seeing our call to action last week on our last episode take off like wildfire. Coaches were starting text groups. They were sending mass emails. They were retweeting links all over Twitter and Facebook. It was awesome to see. And again, I want you to think of it like this. Are you challenging yourself with outside information? So many of us aren't. So many of us aren't diving into development and growth, and they're going to walk right back into a season this fall and spring doing exactly what we did last year. That's probably going to get us the exact same results. Also, ask yourself this. Are you doing your part to bring up the coaches and the folks around you? Are you reaching back and pulling them up with you? Are you doing your part to grow the game of baseball? Here's how you start. Start by just sharing this podcast with those coaches, parents, players. Connect them with some of these great baseball minds in our game. Let them learn from these folks. Imagine if the coaches that feed into your programs, the youth coaches all the way up through high school and travel baseball and then into college, if all those coaches are listening, learning, growing, doesn't that make your job a little easier where you sit? Doesn't that grow our game? Doesn't it take care of the people that are supposed to be taking care of our game? Again, we appreciate and we value your efforts to challenge those around you. And just please send us your feedback on that. Connect those folks with us directly. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from all the people that you're working hard to bring up inside this game. Now, you might have missed the action on last night's hashtag ABCA chat. And wow, it was action-packed. It was explosive on there. Hashtag ABCA chat, for those that don't know, is a platform where every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we connect with coaches from all over the world to share information and their insight. Plus, we're networking with one another. We're forging new relationships. We are strengthening our coaching community. It's awesome. We hope you plan to join us on our next hashtag ABCA chat. Mark your calendars Monday, August 7th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our next hashtag ABCA chat there on Twitter. Plus, we want you to check out our ABCA Barnstormers clinics. These are one-day coaching clinics. We're going to hit 20 cities this fall on our Midwest tour, plus two dates here in the Carolinas. We're just building momentum towards our January convention there in Indianapolis. And remember, these are for you, the coaches. A one-day coaching clinic, the very best clinicians in the area. It's like a mini ABCA convention inside your backyard. And once you experience a Barnstormers clinic just for one day, you're going to decide, man, I need to go spend 4 days of that in Indianapolis. There is no doubt. The lineup, the dates, the locations, all that is on our website, abca.org/clinics. We hope to see you sign up and jump aboard the Barnstormers Clinic Tour Bus this fall. And just another reminder, guys, we are the ABCA. We are the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity, and we hope you're inside our association. September 1st kicks off our brand new membership year. It's only $45. We'd love to see you jump on board with us. And again, keep us posted if you have any questions on what we're doing. And as always, guys, we thank you for listening in. We truly appreciate you staying dialed into our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. And until next week, guys, keep growing. Keep developing, keep challenging what you're doing inside the game. We wish you and your club the absolute very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.